As we face down the COVID-19 pandemic, one thing is at least almost certain, which is that someday, at some point, many of us will return to work and to school. We will return to physical spaces, and those spaces will be designed in certain ways, and those ways will have been designed before we'd been through a global pandemic. So how will our built world, our offices, classrooms, cube farms need to change? That's what architect Michael Murphy explores in a Boston Globe op-ed, and he joins us now on the line. He is the founding principal and executive director of the Mass Design Group. Michael, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Tiziana. It's a pleasure to be here.
How are you?
I'm great. I'm okay. I'm hanging in there. How about you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. I love my job, so it makes every day a good one. So you are talking about our built world, Michael, and I found your arguments really interesting and timely. There's a lot of stuff that sort of looks ahead that I'm kind of not ready for, but this one feels really important. So let's start with hospitals, because that's where folks are working valiantly every day to fight this pandemic right now. What have we not thought through in hospital design that we're going to need to consider both immediately and further down the road?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, we often say that architecture either helps or hurts, that it's never neutral. And by that, we mean that spaces are all the time making us sick, or they're also making us healthier. And so there's opportunities to both be aware of the spaces around us and try to design them in such a way that improves our daily life. And so with hospitals, that's pretty evident, especially in the case that one might enter a hospital and get sicker and then leave with you know, a contagion or a disease that they didn't have when they entered. And so hospital designers think about this all the time. They think about infection control, how the space operates, and try to ensure as best they can that people who enter a hospital don't come out sicker than they entered. In the case of COVID-19, we have a kind of a crisis because no hospital has been designed to manage a pathogen like COVID-19. So hospitals are actively repurposing themselves and converting their spaces to manage as best they can with the tools they have in front of them to deal with the disease as it confronts us today.
What one could imagine, though, thinking as a layperson, wait a minute, how could our hospitals not have been designed to deal with highly contagious viruses?
Well, that's certainly the case. And our hospitals are designed, especially particular parts of the hospital are designed to, as best they can, manage the diseases that we know. But each disease has different pathways to contamination. So look at tuberculosis is transmitted through aerosolized droplets in the air, which you breathe in. Ebola was transmitted through surface contagion. And as each of these diseases emerges, infection control protocols have to also adjust and change. And so too do our principles for hospital design. Hmm. So one way to think about it is that the hospital is really a living system, and we are constantly adapting and changing it as we understand more about the environment around us and how it might make us infected or sick.
Okay, so we're in the middle here in the Commonwealth of building some of these, as you call them, living systems right now with these mobile hospitals or these field hospitals that are being stood up, like DCU, like the, you know, Boston Convention Center, BCEC. You have experience designing and building these kinds of temporary facilities. What do the people creating and working on these spaces need to keep in mind based on your experience?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, the first thing I would say is that, and this goes, a lot of our medical partners would say this as well, you know, a temporary tent facility is not an ideal medical facility for infection control. It is an imperfect situation. That being said, we are faced in the middle of this pandemic with, you know, quite a few imperfect scenarios of the spaces around us, and we're all actively trying to manage how do we, let's say, repurpose them or convert them as best we can with the limited resources that we have to make them healthier and less contagious. And so in the cases of temporary tent facilities, you know, one thing, I think the most important things to keep in mind, of course, we know the details about distancing of patients 6 feet away, we know that. But one thing that hasn't been fully introduced and is hard to introduce is the movement of air. And ensuring that we have enough airflow in the facility to try to reduce pathogen transmission. We know that COVID is not necessarily primarily transmitted through aerosolization, although That may be the case, especially with intubation and other procedures in the clinical setting. And so we do have to think about the movement of air, which is difficult when we're implementing temporary tents and kind of emergency situations. So that's something to consider as well.
So let's say 5 years from now, there's a new hospital building being built in this region. What will be different about it based on what we're learning now?
That's a great question. I think something that we're really going to see in medical facilities in the future is the ability to manage, or at least be designed to manage, surges like we're seeing today. One of the really striking realities we're faced with, and we're seeing this in New York City at the moment, is the hospitals are designed for really slim margins, designed to try to fill as many beds as possible under normal circumstances. And so many of them are not designed for the surges that we're seeing. And so they are wrestling with both repurposing and converting their facilities for this kind of volume. And so what we're seeing in medical facilities right now in New York, and I think we will see in Boston as the surge increases, is, for example, waiting areas turned into temporary shelters and temporary clinics. We're seeing normal L&D floors or pediatric wards converted into COVID wards. And we're seeing the active redesign of the space itself to manage this crisis. And they're not really designed to do that. That is a really kind of frightening reality. They are coping with the limited resources they have and reconfiguring them in immediate response. And I think we will see future hospitals have more adaptability to a kind of surge needs that we're seeing today.
So I hear a message of flexibility in that answer. Is that right?
I would say so, yes. Flexibility and also the ability to actively convert to more intense treatment for diseases of this nature.
So in our last couple minutes, let's step out of hospitals into other kinds of spaces, and particularly on my mind, schools, offices, gyms. I can't even imagine how a gym gets designed differently after this. What are some of the principles about how we need to reimagine all those kinds of, social spaces?
Yeah, well, I think one thing that is really evident to probably every Bostonian right now, every American, maybe everybody in the world, is that the spaces around us are shaping our health every single day. And the really frightening thing is we're not aware of if the space around us is going to make us sick, if the surface we're going to touch, the door handle, is going to make us sicker, that there is this direct relationship between the buildings that we're in, the spaces around us, which we spend 90% of our living lives inside of buildings. There's a direct relationship between that infrastructure, that architecture, and our ability to live a healthy life and protect ourselves against a disease. And that, to some degree, has always been the case. The buildings are managing airflow and light and, crowds and people all the time. It's just we have disaggregated that relationship of our public space from the health of the public. And I think we have an opportunity as the dust settles on this pandemic to ask really important and necessary questions, not just how do you manage the next pandemic, but how should this building make us healthier? How does it accelerate and improve our daily lives instead of potentially threaten us and make us sicker?
So in listening...
Sorry, go on, yeah.
Well, in listening to you, I'm both encouraged and discouraged, because obviously there are some things that we can do for built environments to be healthier for us. At the same time, we just talked earlier in the show with Mayor Marty Walsh about schools. Boston Public Schools aren't going to have the budget to rebuild for healthier buildings, like, new facilities anytime soon. What are small changes or important but doable changes in a physical environment like that that could get made so that when kids do eventually go back to school, they do so in a way that is healthier and safer for them?
Yeah, I think, the way that we can rethink the existing infrastructure that we have is very much what's happening in hospitals now. We're repurposing them to be healthier. And simple things like rethinking the public areas of schools, the threshold spaces, the hallways, how we can control the movement of people, control the movement of air in those spaces more effectively. Those are simple retrofits that can happen in any public building to ensure that in the case of crisis, they are safer spaces than they are at the moment. And that doesn't require rebuilding every single public piece of infrastructure that we have. It means taking very seriously where the public convenes, taking very seriously the health conditions of those public spaces, and retrofitting them to be appropriate and resilient against problematic crises like this.
So in our last 30 seconds or so, what is the number one design change that we should be making immediately based on what we're learning from this pandemic?
Well, one of the things that we often advocate for is going back to the way the buildings worked many years ago before the introduction of large mechanical systems. Buildings breathe naturally through natural passive ventilation. We think that's an opportunity. Our buildings should be operating within their context. We think we should be opening windows again, not sealing them off. We should be introducing the light of the context. We should be thinking about health crises like we're seeing now and make sure that those, especially public spaces, can accommodate a crisis. So we often say that, you know, as again, the building is either helps or hurts, it's never neutral. And each of the decisions we can make for an architecture that improves our health is going to benefit the public and improve our daily lives.
That's Michael Murphy, founding principal and executive director of the Mass Design Group. Michael, thanks.
Thank you so much.